Revelation 3, where Chance read for us. While you're turning there, just want to tell you how thrilled Sasha and I are to be with you. Been looking forward to it for a long time. I'm go ahead and warn you and do my best to control my southern accent somewhat. But when I get wired up, it gets worse. So I'll just, you know, I'm letting you know ahead of time. But I think you'll be able to understand me okay. Got to meet a number of you last night. We enjoyed that. And the singing this morning, it's been fantastic. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Pray you'll turn with us this morning to the verses that we have to take a look at this subject. The idea of zeal. Being zealous, being lukewarm, where do I fall in that idea? Where am I? Am I more zealous toward the Lord or am I lukewarm? Looking at a passage from Ephesians, thinking about what is zeal. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up to all things unto Him who is the head, Christ. And so what I want us to do this morning, speak truth in love to each other, but maybe even more importantly to ourselves. Be true to ourselves when we ask this question, am I zealous? Am I zealous towards serving the Lord? If I find that I'm not, will I fix it? If I see that there's things I can do to make it better, will I do those things? I guess if we're going to talk about zeal, got to define it first. Zeal is defined as intense eagerness. Are you zealous about things? Bet you are. You want to see zeal in a grown man, come watch a Tennessee Titans football game with me. You will see zeal. I am intensely eager about it. I don't know why. They're terrible. But I am eager to it, much to my wife's chagrin. But am I that way about spiritual things? Am I intensely eager about serving the Lord? Or am I more, I'm kind of sort of eager sometimes. I'm eager when it's convenient. Revelation 3. Let's look at the Laodiceans again. We'll just look at verses 15 and 16. Chance read more than that for us. Notice what Jesus says to them. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. And we look at that description and say, that is disgusting. I mean, be honest. Who is he talking to? He's talking to Christians. And what does he say about them? I will spew you out of my mouth. Their attitude apparently is so lackadaisical, they make Jesus sick to his stomach. Now, can you imagine standing before God in judgment? And he says, your worship to me made me sick. Made me, pardon the phrase, made me want to vomit. I couldn't hold it in because of the way your service to me was like that. Can you imagine that? How would you feel? Scares me to death. This passage is scary to me because that can be me. I can be just like these Laodiceans. How do I keep that from happening? Let's look at some of the descriptions there. Cold. One of the options given there. Cold, the Greek word is sukkos, which means chilly or cold. When I think of that, I think of those who either has no regard for God's word whatsoever, completely cold toward His word, or just doesn't care. Indifferent. Outright disbelief or just indifference. What about lukewarm? This is what the Laodiceans were having the trouble with. It means to warm or becoming warm. Notice what it doesn't mean. Doesn't mean cold. Doesn't mean even cool. There's some warmth there. There's some heat. Apply it to them. Were they doing some things? The Laodiceans as a church. Apparently. Apparently they were meeting. He doesn't say anything about idolatry or false teaching. They were doing things. They were coming together. They just were indifferent about it. Jesus says He will vomit them out. Now, again, not to be too descriptive. When we expel something from our bodies that's harmful, that's what happens, right? That's what He's saying about Christians. Harmful to His body, unpleasing, and He will remove them, expel them. What's their problem? If they're not teaching false doctrine, if they're not doing things like that, what's wrong with them? They weren't hot. They weren't on fire when it came to serving their Lord. Which brings us to the last word we'll look at. Hot, zestos, boiling over. On fire, not warm, but fervent. Boiling heat. Now, which one describes me? Well, we're here this morning, so it's not cold. It's going to be one of those second two, either lukewarm or hot. Which one? We worry about Christians falling away completely. It's a real threat. It happens. You know Christians who have fallen away. I do. Terrible thing when it happens. But these brethren haven't stopped worshiping. They're still worshiping. They're just lukewarm. Could you be sitting here this morning and be lukewarm? Could I be standing here this morning and be absolutely lukewarm? Why does he expect so much from us? You know, we may look at that and say, well, what does he want? What is he expecting? I mean, you know, I'm here. I showed up. I dressed up. I picked up my songbook when the song leader led. I went there. I bowed my head when they prayed. What does he want from me? He wants the best, right? Why does he get to ask for the best? Who does he think he is? He gave the very best. He deserves the very best from us. John 3:16. Let's turn it. Familiar passage, but let's turn it together. Read it together. Why does he expect so much? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, because he gave his only begotten Son. Turn to Hebrews 1. Let's get a description of that son. See just how special he is. Hebrews chapter 1, we'll read the first four verses. God, who at various times, in various ways, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a much more excellent name than they. And really, the book of Hebrews, if you want to define it, it is Jesus is better. And that's the theme that runs throughout the entire book. Jesus is better. He's a better high priest. He's a better sacrifice. He's better than angels. Has a better name than all others. That's what he gave. That's why he expects so much from us in return. What does he expect? He expects us to be holy. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. He wouldn't ask us to do something that we couldn't do. Now, talking about zeal, intense eagerness, let me ask a question. What if the Apostle Paul had had my zeal? What if he had had your zeal? Would he have done all those things? Would he have gone on the missionary journeys that he did? If he had my level of zeal? Turn to Acts chapter 14. Let's look at what took place in Lystra. Would Paul have continued on? Or would he have quit after the first shipwreck? When he writes to the Corinthians a second time, at that point he's endured three shipwrecks. If he had had my faith, my zeal, would he have quit after the first one? He said, you know, I didn't sign up for this. God didn't say anything about swimming around in the sea here. But he kept on. Continued. Acts chapter 14. What about when he was stoned outside of Lystra? Let's start. Verse 12. And Barnabas they called Zeus, Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out, saying, men, why are you doing these things? We're also men with the same nature as you. We preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God who made the heaven, earth, sea, and the things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing them. So what happens? Barnabas and Paul are in there. They start speaking these things. They've seen earlier that Paul, back in verse 9, they hear him speaking. He had the faith to be healed. Stand up straight on your feet. So there's miracle working going on. There's a crippled man there, verse 8. They see these things and they think, these are gods. This Barnabas, this Paul, Zeus, Hermes. So what's the first thing they're going to do? Let's offer them a sacrifice. Let's worship them. Obviously, Paul doesn't allow that. But then keep reading. Verse 19. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. And having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. So this day for Paul goes from being almost sacrificed to as a god, which he rejected, to being stoned. Bad day, right? I mean, from beginning to end, this has not been a good day for him. What if he had had my zeal? What would he have done after that? I got to be honest. That's not... You know, I've never had anybody try to stone me after preaching a lesson. And, you know, I hope I don't have to deal with that. What would I do? Wait, think seriously. You study the gospel with somebody. You try to be a good example. And then people are hurling rocks at you. What does he do afterward? Verse 21. When they had preached the gospel to that city, that being Derbe, we find out verse 20, they move on to Derbe, he and Barnabas. When they preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, so he keeps preaching. Keeps making disciples. Now read the last part of verse 21. They returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. So he gets up from being stoned, goes and preaches in Derbe, makes disciples, and then he goes back to the place where they stoned him. Would you do that? You have that kind of zeal? What would we say? You know, sometimes... I'll just be honest. Sometimes when people don't want to hear the gospel, I kind of just let it go. You know, I kind of don't press as much as I should. If people threw rocks at me, would I turn around and come back to the city a few days later and check on the brethren there? What if he had had my zeal? Sometimes I'm afraid we wouldn't even know who Paul was if he had my level of zeal. And that's a shame. I've got to fix it. I'm going to guess I'm probably not the only one whose zeal isn't what it should be from time to time. Would he have stood up against false teaching the way that he did? We talked in our class this morning. If Paul had my zeal, would he have stood up to Peter and called him out on not eating with Gentiles? Or would he have said, you know, that's Peter. He's an apostle. Somebody else will do it. I'm sure somebody else will say something to him. Would he have stood up? Would he have touched so many lives? Would he have brought so many people to Christ? Or would we not even know who he was? Now, we may be tempted to say, yeah, but that's Paul. That's different. Paul was an apostle. Paul had these miraculous abilities. He's different from us. He was just a man. Granted, he was an apostle. He did have miraculous gifts. I understand that. But notice what he told the people at Lystra in verse 15. Why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you. He said, we're just men. And if Paul, just being a man, could do it, can I do those things? Can I have that kind of zeal? Can I be on fire like that and face things and teach the way that he did, the way that Barnabas did? I mean, name, go through, Timothy, Titus, any of those. He could say the same thing to us. Are we at a disadvantage in preaching the gospel because we don't have miraculous gifts today? I cannot bring anybody back from the dead. Can't do it. You know, if I decide to preach past midnight tonight and somebody falls out the window and dies like Eutychus, don't look at me. I mean, I can't help you. are we at a disadvantage? 2 Peter 1, verse 3, you've been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. If anything, we're in a better situation than the Lord's people have ever been in. We have this complete revealed word. We can do and see everything that we need to bring others to Christ. So what's the difference? We have things that angels desire to look into. What's the difference? Maybe this attitude. Writing to the Corinthians, Paul said, "But I discipline my body, bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified." He worked at it. Constantly striving to get better. Constantly doing those things. And just to ask a question, each of us individually, are you spiritually stronger today than you were 1 year ago? Are you stronger in the faith, in zeal, whatever, than you were a year ago today? I had a track coach that would tell us, because we were seniors and we were tempted to skip practice all the time. Apparently that's what seniors do in high school. And he said, "Look, you guys are either going to be better tomorrow or worse. You're not going to be the same as you are today. You're going to be better or you're going to be worse. You won't stay the same." Make the spiritual application. Am I better or worse? Am I stronger or am I weaker than I was a year ago, a month ago? If I'm not growing, why not? We get one shot, one life, one shot to serve the Lord in this life. I may have 30 more years. I may have 30 more minutes. What are we going to do in the time that we've been given? And what's my excuse going to be if I'm not zealous and I stand in judgment and say, "You know, Lord, I was going to get around to serving you. I was. I mean, things got busy. You know, work got busy. Family problems came up. I was going to get around to serving you." Is that true? Because if I was going to, then I would. What excuse will I have? Let's look at some ways. Some ways that we can get better. Ways that we can make sure our zeal is what it needs to be. And just asking in each one of these, am I boiling over or am I lukewarm? First one we'll look at, in my study and my attendance of worship services. Am I boiling over or I'm all right? I'm okay. How much effort do I make to grow? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2. Look at verse 15. Actually, I have it up here for you as well. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There are a couple things I can take from that verse. First of all, be diligent. The Old King James Version says study. Study to show yourself approved. And he goes on, so you can be a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed because you know how to rightly divide the word of truth. If I can rightly divide the word of truth, what does that mean? Because I can wrongly divide it too. So I need to study that I know how to make the right applications, that I know how to teach the correct things. How's your personal study? I don't mean here. When you come together here, I have no doubt that the studying that takes place is beneficial and what it needs to be. What about when you're home? What about when it's just you? Is your study what it needs to be? I'll confess to you, there have been times my personal study has been lukewarm. And I am glad Jesus didn't come back at that time, because what's my excuse going to be? I have the revealed Word of God. I just wasn't using it like I should. What about when we come together? Hebrews 10, we'll read it. I know you're familiar with it, but let's look at Hebrews 10, 24, 25. We'll look at a couple aspects of assembling, but let's read this first. Verse 24, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." What's your attendance like? I know a congregation that with visitors, 90 people in the morning. That night, 20. Boiling over or lukewarm? Which is it? They've gotten better, but that's ridiculous. What about, do I attend work, ball practice, whatever, more religiously than worship services? I know people, you could not keep them from work with a hand grenade. I mean, if they can walk, they can drag themselves to work, they're gonna be there. There's no way around it. They're convicted. They're dedicated. And yet the same people will miss services at the drop of a hat. How do you explain the difference in zeal? Because they understand how important work is. I've got to be there. I've got to go to work. I've got to go to the grocery store. Why not? I've got to go to worship. Why is there a difference in the level of zeal? Now, side note. We can be here and not be here, right? I can be here every time those doors open and not really be here. Have you ever been singing? Song leader's doing a good job. Everyone else singing, they're focused. It's good. And you get to the end of the last verse and you're like, man, when do we get here? You sang every word. You hit every note just like you should have. But you get to the end and it's like this fog lifts and you're like, oh, just must have zoned out there for a second. You ever done that in a prayer? Someone's leading a prayer. Everything they say is exactly what it should be. And then you hear amen and it's like you just woke up. I was here. I was praying. I was singing. But was I? Zealous or lukewarm? Now, in thinking about sickness, and look, if you're sick, you're sick. You know, don't come here, especially if you're contagious. Don't bring that stuff. No, that's not what we're talking about. It's a question of the heart. No woman who is undergoing cancer, chemo treatments, she can't be around a lot of people just because her immune system's so susceptible. She would come in to the building and sit out in the foyer. There's a bench there and there's a speaker out so she could hear the lesson. She could hear singing and all that. She would come in, listen to the singing, listen to the sermon, and when the prayers were finished, she'd get up and leave. She couldn't be around everybody, but she didn't want to miss. Now, would anybody have held that against her if she decided to stay home? Going through those treatments, she's weak, she's sick. No. Why was she there? People didn't even know, so she wasn't doing it for attention. You know, we just happened, someone walked back in the back with a baby and saw her there. Nobody knew, so she wasn't doing it for attention. Why? Boiling over. She wanted to be there. She knew she should have been there. And she could have been. So she was. What about when we travel? What's our attendance like when we travel? You know, used to it was kind of hard to find faithful congregations. Now you've got websites, findthechurch.com. You can find them. You go anywhere in the world. And it's a lot easier. You don't have to break out a book that's 10 years old and try to find a directory of congregations. It's easy. Will we use them? Now, one little tangent here. There are younger people here who are not married. Lord willing, you will be married one day if you choose that. Let me just mention this one thing to you. A number of young Christians are getting married on Saturday night, leaving for their honeymoon on Sunday, and not worshiping. Now, I know this is a little bit of a side note, but let me just mention this. You are about to start your life together as husband and wife, and your first opportunity to worship the Lord, you miss? Is that a good foundation? Is it boiling over, or is that lukewarm? Now, for those of us who are married, we may have missed. Did we miss? We can't fix that. But we can make sure it doesn't happen anymore. But for those who are younger, keep it in mind. What better way to start your marriage than together worshiping the Lord the first opportunity you have? What about boiling over or lukewarm when it comes to bad habits? I don't know any other way to toward this. Turn to Job. Job 31. Am I zealous about this? Or is it something that I'm half-hearted about? Job 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Job makes a covenant with his eyes. He's not going to look upon a young woman with lust. Do I make sure my eyes bounce? You know what I mean by that? There are times that you don't want things. Watching TV, something totally inappropriate comes up. Do I make my eyes bounce away from it? Turn the channel, look away, or do I keep on staring? What did Job do? Made a promise to himself. Made a covenant. I'm not going to do that. Covenant with his eyes. Or do I keep staring? Zealous or lukewarm? Will I stop a DVD that I paid $25 for if there is absolute garbage on it? I get to the point, there is language, and there is nudity, and there's constant sexual innuendos. Will I stop it and throw that thing in the trash? Or will I say, man, I paid $25. Money's hard to come by. We're in a recession. I'm going to finish this. Zealous? Lukewarm. Will you walk out of a theater? I don't know how much tickets are out here. They're like $10 in Georgia. That's crazy for one person. But if it's garbage on that screen, will I get up and walk out and leave my $10? Let them have it. Or will I keep watching? What about things that damage this body God's given me? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Thinking about bad habits, things that damage this body that God has entrusted to me. Andrew and I were talking about this last night. What? What are Christians to do? 1 Corinthians 6. Let's read 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This body belongs to Him. Spirit belongs to Him. Do I damage it with things? Do I damage it with just unhealthy eating habits? I have high cholesterol. Am I being a good steward of this body if I eat at greasy fast food restaurants 6 days a week? Am I being a good steward of the body that He's given me? Smoking, drinking, those things that would damage this body, am I really being a good steward? Am I zealous or lukewarm? What if the Jews had treated the physical temple the way I treat this one? You ever thought about that? What if they just came in and started just tearing walls down and ripping stuff and kicking doors in and just... What if they treated the physical temple like... How long would that have lasted? And I treat this body that way sometimes. Zealous, lukewarm. One last one. What about evangelism? When it comes to teaching others the gospel of Jesus Christ, am I boiling over or is the stove barely on? Which one really describes me? Mark 16. And He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Am I on fire about that? Because that's good news. It's news I don't deserve. It's news I've done nothing to earn. And it's there for me. Do I share that with others? Do you remember how happy you were when you came out of the waters of baptism? I hope you were happy. That's a good day. Am I still that happy? Do I want others to feel that same happiness? I'm afraid sometimes Christians are almost like, I'm in. I got mine. And now I'm just going to coast to the end and try not to fall away. And they don't reach out to anyone else. I haven't been as zealous as I should be in that. Do I have Paul's attitude? For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. from necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel to you. Look for opportunities. And you don't have to stand in a pulpit. You don't have to teach a class. Think of two men at Eastside where we worship. Two older men. They are amazing at being able to work God into a conversation. One of them was standing in line at Walmart, and there were these younger people in front of him talking about how hot it was in the summer. He said, "You think this is hot? Hell's a lot hotter. And if you're not ready, you're going to have to face that." Now, the thing was, he is the most humble man I've ever met in my life. So it didn't come across as arrogant. It didn't come across condescendingly. He was honest with them. He was worried about their souls. In Walmart, do I make opportunities? The other man, whenever he meets somebody, people he's known, new people, he'll talk with them for a little bit, and then he says, "Excuse me, would you mind if I change the subject for a second?" I mean, in the middle of a conversation to his insurance agent, "Excuse me, would you mind if I change the subject? Would you be interested in studying the Bible?" Just out of nowhere. Total strangers. Sometimes people he's known, but he works it in. Am I zealous? That's somebody who's boiling over. Am I zealous that way? How's our service? How's our service been? Boiling over? Lukewarm? Let's look at some good examples. We saw Laodicea. Let's turn to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. The church at Smyrna. We don't want Jesus to view us the way he did the Laodiceans. How about this? Verse 8, "To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich." I know what you're going through. I know the tribulations. I know physically you're poor, but I'm telling you, you are rich. How are they rich? Because they were his. They were faithful to him. They were serving him as they should have been. Does that describe me? Let's go ahead and get your songbooks out. Have we done the things that our Lord expects of us? I don't know the individual situations here. If you've never obeyed the gospel, you can't be zealous. It has to start there. We have to start with obedience. We're to hear God's word and believe it. Believe that that word is true. Believe that Jesus is his son. Not only believe it, but confess that before others. Repenting of anything, that means turning away from anything that would separate us from him. Have our sins washed away in baptism, and then don't stop. Continue faithfully unto death. Do you need to do that? Can we help in any way? If there's anyone that needs the prayers of the group here, please come as we stand and sing.